Okay, everybody, so today is Daf Kuf Mem Zayin, and we're holding three lines from the bottom of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins, Man Tana L'Hadatana Rabban. You recall we had yesterday that there is Reb Shimon ben Manasya, as well as Reb Shimon Shizuri, but we focus on Reb Shimon ben Manasya, that hold that you go Basar Umdina. Now, what was the case of Reb Shimon ben Manasya? Umdina means that you assess the whole situation, even though nothing was said expressly, but implicit in the fact pattern, you get the message as to what the din should be. So the Gemara tells us, let's just go back just for a moment to the Gemara right after the Mishnah of yesterday. The Gemara brought Mantana Joslina Basar Umdana, it's Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, the son of Umdana Braisa. What was the case? Person had a son, the son went to Medina Sayyam, and Rachmon Litzlan Vishama Shemais Benoit. He heard the bad news. Unfortunately, his son passed away. And then came time to go and write out his last will and testament. Since there's no son left, apparently that was an only son, so he decided he's going to give him the chosim to Yankel Smith. And then after he wrote out all the chosim to Yankel Smith, signed and sealed and delivered and all the rest, unfortunately, Leolena, the person, passed away. And then, sometime later, Yankach Bobanoi, the son came back on the scene. So what's the din now? There were no conditions written in the shtar. Just in case my son returns, it just said I'm giving all my nechasim to Yankel Smith. Reb Shimon Manasseh says, come on, you got to look at the background over here. Why? If he would have known that his son is alive, would he give his money and all his nechasim to Yankel Smith? That son was very beloved to him. Everybody knew the son and the father were, you know, like one. Yosef Yesbenoi together, like Avram going to the Akedah together with Yitzhak Avinu. Everybody knew for sure that the father would have given his nechasim to his son, but he heard the terrible news, his son passed away. But now that we heard that the son is Avad, he's alive, come on. So that's what the Gemara calls that you go Basar Umdana. So now the Gemara brings a very similar situation and asks whether this is as well Reb Shimon ben Asya, or perhaps even the Rabbanan. So what is the fact pattern here? Man Tan al Hadatan Rabbanan, two lines from the bottom of Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis, who the Tan of the following Braisa. Harry show you Choyle Umutal Mamita. Nebuchadnezzar person is a Shchimarai, he's very sick. The Amruloi and the Oilam asks him, No, it's only any day now. Nechasech Alamid, did you make preparations for that ultimate day? Who the Nechasim will go to? The Amalahem, he told them, Doime Shiyesh Li Ben. What means doime shiyesh li ben? Says the top Rishbam, ki meduma hayisi shiyesh li ben. I felt that I thought that I had a son, but unfortunately, continuing the Gemara, achshav she'en li ben, but now that I've heard that I have no ben, nechosai lepleini. I'm going to give all my nechosim to Yankel Smith. Now notice he didn't say, put a condition into the agreement or into his shtar, into his statement. All he said was, I was under the impression until recently that I have a son, but now that I heard that I have no son, Nebuch Rachmon Litzlan, I'm giving all my nechosin to Yah. And similar, same type of situation, who are you giving your nechosin to? I heard that my wife was Muveris, and as long as she was Muveris, I was obviously very excited about that, because hopefully I would have a legacy and a child and a son and my daughter, whatever, and they'll take over, and therefore presumably he would have left his nechosim for that wife, for the child. Now that I heard that unfortunately she had already miscarried or the whole thing was not true, whatever, I'm giving it to Pliny. So that was the fact pattern. And guess what happens? Venoida, subsequently we heard the good news. The father was wrong. Sheishlamed, in fact, he did have a son after all, and the son, Baruch Hashem, was alive. And the same thing by Shoyis Ishtim Uberes, that the wife, in fact, was still pregnant. There was no miscarriage, and he will have a legacy, met the heritage, and all together. Bushtein the brightness, that's the case. Ei matanosei matana. Now, as you can see, the facts are very similar to the facts of yesterday's Braisa, which we just learned, except for that we have these introductory words that when we asked the father, who would you like to go and give you nechasim to? He started off by saying, I was hoping, my aspirations were that my son would take over and he would turn it up. Unfortunately, there is no son. My wife is not Mulberes. I'm giving it to this fellow. So says Imar, no, Leimer Pshim Ben Manasseh, B'lei Rabbanim. Shouldn't we say that this Bryce as well goes like Pshim Ben Manasseh, that you go Basar Umdana, and this Umdana is stronger than the Umdana of yesterday, because here he verbalized that I thought and I was hoping and all the rest. So the Chayra, it certainly goes Pshim Ben Manasseh. Says Imar, Avada goes Pshim Ben Manasseh. But Afilatim Rabbanan, you can say that this Bryce, even the Rabbanan would agree. Why? Yesterday the Rabbanan said, Matanosi Matana, that the Matana that he gave to Yankel is a good Matana.
So you can't claw back?
What do you mean you can't claw back?
Like take back from what was given already and give it to the son who's just arrived on the scene?
So the, what, are you asking him yesterday, are you asking him today, or are you asking him both?
What is the, I guess, the final...
Okay, so according to the Tanakhama, who disagrees with Shem Manasseh, he's very, very yekish, very, very meticulous, very precise, and he says, Rabbeisai, don't confuse me with a fact. I just want to see the legal documentation. I read this document, it says, I, the future Nifter, Achmana Litzlan, I'm giving all of my nechasim to Yankel Smith, signed by Adam, signed the Bezen right to Henfek, signed and sealed, notarized, authenticated. What does it say? It doesn't say anything about a son, it doesn't say anything about a daughter, it doesn't say anything about his wife being Muberis, it doesn't say about the son went to London, he came back, he didn't. Just says, I give it to Yankel Smith. Done deal. Sack. You give it to Yankel Smith. Says Reb Shem Manasseh, no. What you should really do is, in fact, find out the whole context, because in fact, if there is a son, after all, do you think that this fellow would not have given it to his son? And everybody told us in Bezdin that he was known and beloved in the community. He was a chofshev mensch, he was a son. Avadi would have given it. So why didn't he? Don't you remember that famous obituary about Mark Twain that he passed away? And it turned out that it was his premature passing was slightly exaggerated. So here too was a slight exaggeration. The son Baruch Hashem was alive. So Reb Shem Manasseh, give it to the son after all and do not give it to that other fellow.
Was it given already?
Agmar doesn't go into that level of detail. It would appear that it wouldn't make a difference. In other words, it's like a mekach tois. If there's a son, says Reb Shem Manasseh, Avada goes to the son, so presumably you would retrieve it. You would claw it.
That's what I said. Claw.
Yeah, I understand.
I got it. You needed more content.
Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara doesn't address that expressly. Presumably what you're saying is right, that even if it was given, they would claw it back. However, it could be that the probate court is about to go and issue a psak giving it to Yankel Smith. Then somebody knocks on the court doors. Who are you? I'm the son of the Nifter. Really? Here's my birth certificate. Here's my passport. Here's my own driver's license. Picture photo. Yeah, it's like it is. And then they asked around and they heard, yeah, this is the father and the son were very close. And
there's no amount of passage of time that would, you know, I guess, like a statute of limitations.
In general, there's no statute of limitations in Jewish law, as a general rule. There are exceptions, but in general. But anyway, that was yesterday's case. Now, today's case is a little bit more dramatic, if you will, that the father, before he gave all the chasm to Yankel Smith, he said, I thought, and I was hoping, and I could have had, and I should have had, but unfortunately I have no son, I'm giving it now, therefore, to Yankel Smith. And then the father passed away, and now the son comes on the scene, says this braisa, ein matanos im matana, but it goes to Yankel Smith, which is exactly the same lashon of Reb Shem Manasseh. Yesterday said, ein matanos im matana. So you're going to go and tell me that the same, this braisa is the same like yesterday, it's Reb Shem Manasseh, and not the Rabbanan, because just like the Rabbanan said yesterday, matanos im matana, today they're all to say matanos im matana. So Timurinay, after the Taimur Rabbanon, in our case, even the Rabbanon would agree the Ein Matanosi Matana. We're going to go and give the whole thing to the son and not to Yankel Smith. Why? Because Doimishani, the fact that he made these introductory words, Doimim, even though it wasn't legally speaking an unconditional condition where he throws into the document, the only reason I'm going to give it to Yankel Smith is because they have no son. Were my son to go and return from Gan Eden, and he'd be back here in this world, Avada would give it to him. If those words were written, then there was nothing to talk about. He's putting an almanas with an express condition. Here, however, it's only by implication. By the father saying, Doimish Yeshli Ben, or Doimish Ishtimu Beres, you can see his mindset. And that's what he had in mind. Says, Doimishani. Because of the fact that he made that statement, why did he say it? He had nothing better to do. So you can understand, he wasn't a lawyer. What he was saying was, oh, if I had my son, you think I'd be giving my nechassim to Yankel? I have no son, I'm giving it to Yankel.
It's just the mere fact that he's expressing regret.
Exactly, and regret and remorse about his difficult situation. So it says, you know what? I agree with you. Even the Rabbanon would agree. And the Gemara called that yesterday an umdino de muchach. This is not just a stam umdino, this is a very strong umdino. By the fact that he said all of those words, you could see his mindset is clear, according to everybody. So Gemara, it is so clear, or the Karla, my Karla, I don't even understand what the Habamina is, that it was only Reb Shem Manasseh and not the Rabban. Isn't it crystal clear from his statement with the Kimadumali that I had a son, that was a real, real intention to go and have a son? I mean, he expressed it in those terms. He said, Halavai would have a son. So my Karla, what was the Chiddush? What was the Habamina? So Gemara, how to say Matzari hu de Kamidka? It's not that this is an expression of an implicit condition. I'm only giving it to Yankel Smith because I have no son. But if I had a son, I wouldn't give it to Yankel Smith. No. The person is, unfortunately, it's the end of his life, and now he's just expressing his remorse and his regret about the terrible turn of events. And he's expressing his anguish. I wish I would have learned the Shas 101 times. I didn't. I wish I'd owned more real estate here in Manhattan. I didn't. I wish I had a son. I didn't. See, he's expressing Nebuch his disappointment that after all of these years of hard work and hard labor and learning and working and this and that, he didn't accomplish half of what he had hoped to accomplish. And this is one of the things that he was expressing regret about. But not necessarily is he saying, oh, but Oisa, you should know that if my son were alive, I would give it to him. No, he's just talking out loud about how Nebuch, his life has not been the easiest of lives, it's been difficult. So that's what I might have thought. Kamash Malon, no, by the fact that he said those words directly prior to his giving out the Nechassim to someone. I mean, if he said it in the morning, I'm so disappointed, I was hoping to do this, and I was hoping to have a legacy, and I was going to have a child, and then 3 hours later, somebody asked him, who are you giving the Nechassim to? I'm giving them to Yanko Smith. Then obviously one has nothing to do with the other. But since, by the fact that he gave this krechts and his expression of regret and remorse right prior to giving out Nechassim, says the Gemara, I thought that I might say that this is only Reb Shem Manasseh, not the Rabbanon, because he's just expressing, he's never krechtsing, giving out his remorse.
So if it's just one krechts in the midst of many krechts, we don't take it...
It's a very good question. You would have to, again, analyze the whole fact pattern. Exactly the context. If it's just an umdina, then that would mean machloikas, Reb Shem Manasseh and the Rabban. If it's an umdina de muchach, that it's crystal clear that right before he was talking about the Nechassim, he gave that huge krechts. With that sigh, Nebuch, I don't have a son, and therefore I'm giving the kids all the Nechassim to Yanko Smith. So it's clear from the context that that's what he meant, and therefore even the Rabbanon would agree in such a situation, do not give it to Yanko, give it to the son. Kamashalun, that's the Chiddush of that price. Okay, Zoki Moriyetzvait. We've spoken about Matona Shchimra. Remember, that was the context of the Mishnah of yesterday. Shchimra Shekosom Chosom Yacherim. Where does the din of Matan Shchimra come from? Now, what is special about Matan Shchimra? The major chiddush of Matan Shchimra is Matan Shchimra, Divrei Shchimra, Kichsuvim, V'chumasarin, Dami. That means if you have a Shchimra that gives away all of his property, he wasn't Mishaya Karka Kosher, he gave away everything, he does not have to make a kinyan, and the ultimate beneficiary doesn't have to make a kinyan, but rather it's as if it's signed and sealed and collected. That's the lashon of Divrei Shchimra, his dibur, his baal peh, kichsuvin, it's as if it's written down in a document, chumsarin, as if it's handed over. See, it wasn't, it was just totally oral, but since he was a Shchimra, it works. The question is, what's the basis? Where did we find that? Every time there's an acquisition, a matana, a mecher, or something, don't you always have to have Akinyin Hagba, it's Akinyin Galila, it's Akinyin Sudr, it's Akinyin Chotzer, it's Akinyin Meshicha, Amesira, Epis. How does it work without a Kinyin? What's the basis? So our Gemara says, so far, I'm Reb Zeinu Marav, we try it, Minav, Mitzchum, 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 Rashi, Minat Toira. This is Minat Toira. Don't get too caught up in that, because Mietchum will see on the Amid Beis, we're going to have Amram Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Amar Rava, that the Matan Shchimra is Midrabana, not Minatayra. So this is a big machlokes. So far, it's Minatayra, and the Gemara is going to bring four or five rayas from Sukkim. So the first raya you should have said in the Pasuk, Vavartim is Nachlosoy Levitoy. The Loshana Pasuk is, we've quoted this in the past, in the beginning of Yesh Nochlin, Vel B'nai Yisrael Tadabar Leymar, if you have the Torah or HaSholem, Ish ki yomus aven eloi, person passes away, no son, vavartem es nachalosoi levitoi. Then hand over the pie, give the nachla to the daughter. And the raya of the Gemara is that the word vavartem es is really unnecessary, says the Rishbam. It could have said, ish ki yomus aven eloi, nachalosoi levitoi. There is no son, nachla goes to the bus. You don't need vavartem. Just nachlos levitoi. So by the fact that you have avartem, so these are extra words to go and tell you a limut. And what's that limut? Yesh lecha avor acheres. There's another time that you find a transfer from person to person. Shehikazu, which is similar to this one. The ezezun, which one is that? Matana shchimra. Now which respect is matana shchimra similar to the havora levitai? What does the Gemara mean by that? There's another havora shehikazu, which is similar. So Rishbam says, just like any time a person leaves Nechasim for a child, through the dinim of Yerusha min HaTayra, in other words, a person who does not write itself, a person Nebuch passed away young, did not expect to pass away, was killed in a traffic accident, whatever the situation was, and Nebuch, he passed away, so who now receives the Yerusha? The Torah gives us a clear chart. First it goes to the son, and then it goes to the daughter, and then it goes to the father, and then it goes to the brother, and then it goes to the uncle. So we have a whole list of the priorities. So in each of those cases, did the son or the daughter, did anybody make a kinyan before the father passed away? Did the father make a kinyan? No. Why? Because dinam of Yerusha go without a kinyan. If you look at the Rishbam, it's a little bit past halfway down the omelet, about 60%. So the Rishbam, shehi kizu, not birishus, on the side it says, kirishus habas, shehi b'loi kinyan. I have another havora, just like this one, that I'm giving it to the daughter. She didn't make a kinyan, he didn't make a kinyan. Here too, by matana shchimra, you don't have to make a kinyan. So that's the makar, according to Rav Zeira Omer Rav. Rav Nachman Omer Rav Barvua says, mihocha, an almost identical limud. It's the next pasuk right after that in Bamidbar. What does it say in the pasuk? V'imengli bas. What happens if there's no daughter? Unesatem es nachlosoi liyachot. Give the nachla to the brothers. Those are to the siblings. So once again, the Gemara says it could have said in the pasuk v'imengli bas nachlosoi liyachot. Why did I have to say unesatem es? So those words are extra. Yesh lecha nesina acheres shikazu. Another type of nesina, where you're transmitting property from father to child, or in this case, a matana shchimra, a person to whoever the recipient, to whoever the beneficiary is. What type of nesina is that? That's matanas shchimra, also nesina cheres, a yerusha, no kinyan, same type of thing. Now these two limudim are two psukim back to back, and they're both based on the same type of grammatical or literary type
structure.
Sorry?
Construct.
Very good. Ah, what would I do with that, Javier? Yeah. The first pasuk says I don't need the words vavartem es. It could have said nachlos elevitoi. The second pasuk, you don't need nusatem es. Nachlos eliechot. So it's the same thing. It's the phrase of Rav Nachman, my time, the Amma mehavartem. Rav Nachman is the one that said the second drasha. Why didn't he learn the first drasha? That pasuk avartam I need for another drasha, and we have this back in Yesh Nochlin. Desanya Rebbe Oyim Bekula Nemra Behen Nesina Bekan Nemra Havar. If you look in that parasha, the parasha of Yerusha, all the other psukim use the magic term unesatim, like we had the main leibas unesatim is nachlosay the echav v'imloya ein loyachim instead of satim nachlosay l'sheirei hakorav elav and bishmach to be arishoisa. And if you don't have that, then you go and give achei olav. So each time it says mesatim, it's nachal mesatim, mesatim. The only time we find vavartim is ishkiyomu sevein eloi vavartim. What's the difference between avartim? Mesatim means to give. Avartim means kind of to transfer, to assign. Well, basically synonymous term. No. There is a deeper meaning to havara than there is to the term nesina. And what is that? What the Gemara is telling us is there's no such thing in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Kadosh Baruch Hu went and gave to Yeshua, gave the authority to Yeshua ben Nun and Elazar to go and split up all the properties among Klai Yisrael. And they did it Alpi Goyro and Alpi Urim Betumim, like we had earlier on in the Gemara. Okay, now what happens if somebody who lives in Shevet Dan wishes to go and sell his Nachla to a friend who lives in Shevet Naphtali? He can do that, but guess what? This is not irrevocable or irretrievable. It's not Tubu B'Yamsev. It's going to come Yoivel here. It's going to come back. So these types of sales are never permanent, and therefore the Nachlois and the Shvatim will always remain intact, and nothing will be transferred from Shevet to Shevet. With one exception. What's that one exception? If you have an intermarriage. Intermarriage meaning from Don to Naphtali, Naphtali to God, or any, in other words, any two Shvatim. There's nothing wrong with Shvatim marrying one with the other. But what happens if you have a daughter that has a Nachla? How would a daughter have a Nachla? Like the case of Benoist Tzlovchad, where there were no boys, and what does the Torah say? Ishkiyom is a vein ain loy, vavatras a chalos levita, give it to the bas. And what happens if that bas happens to be from Shevet Don? And she marries someone from Shevet Naphtali, since, and if and when Chas HaShalom, she passes away, the husband's going to yarshin her, because it says in the Pasuk, V'yorash Oisa, he's going to yarshin. Uh-oh, so now Don property is going to come over to Naphtali. Therefore, says the Gemara, that's the only case that you find of a Havara of Nachla Mishevet, the Shevet, that property gets transferred, and this doesn't go back in Yoivel yet. This remains permanently, because it's not Yerusha, it's not Matan, it's Yerusha. Therefore, it's going to stay now in the Shevet Naphtali instead of Don, or vice versa. El Abbas, only by Abbas, that was Yoresh's Nachla. Either because her husband's going to yashin her, if she passes away before, and if Chas HaShalom, the husband passes away before she does, eventually she'll pass away, and then she's going to leave her Nachla for her Yarshim. Who are her Yarshim? Her son, her daughter, who happen to be now, they are part of the Shevet of her husband, of her late husband. Why is that? Because Mishpachas Avkari Mishpachas Mishpachas Ein. Anyway, so whenever you have this type of mixed marriage, you have the potential for property transferring from one Nachla to another Nachla. And you'll remember back in the previous parak, we said that for the first generation, it said in the Pasuk, Lo Yisisam Nachla Mishevet Mimatel Mota Acher, that they did not allow for intermarriage between one Shevet and another if the Bas had a Nachla in hand. If she did not have a Nachla, remember she had brothers, and the brothers received the Nachla, or if it was a situation where there was no, if the father never passed away in Ani Ve'evyoin, leaving the daughter with nothing, so then there's no problem. But if she was a Balas Nechosin that she received from her Shevet, from her father, then she was not allowed to go and intermarry. But that was only a one generational thing. Says the Pasuk, Zehadavar.
The big people when they actually did the Chalukas Arach.
Starting from that year, that generation.
Right.
That generation, 15, 20 years, whatever it was. After that generation passed on, or they no longer were able to have children, whatever, then they said, it says the Pasuk, Zehadavar. And which day of the year was that?
Tubav.
And they said, from now on, the Shvatim can readily marry one with the other. Even if it's going to cause this type of transfer from Shevet to Shevet. Anyway, so the bottom line is, that's why he had to use the term Minasatim and not from Avavartim, because he used Avavartim for that other drasha of Rebbe that we just said. Thank you, Rebbe Zera, my time of the Yom Minasatim. Why doesn't Rebbe Zera say the drasha from the second person, Minasatim Zachlos V'Yechav? He says, Urche Dekroho. This is more linguistic and poetic than anything else. Meaning, the Torah doesn't usually go and speak so succinctly. What's the lashon of the pasuk? Then ein lebasif. There's no daughter. It says unesatim. Then give the nachla liyachav, which is the normal way of speech. No, The Gemara darshins, the main loy bas, nachlos liyachav, the nachla goes to the yachav. How does the nachla go to the yachav? Does it go on its own? Does it walk? Does somebody transports it? So the pasuk should say, l'satan, you hand it over, you transfer it, you give it. What's this? Nachlos liyachav. I mean, you theoretically could say that. But since it's the Urcha Dekorah, that's how people and how the Torah normally speaks, so that's not enough of an indication that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving that word to teach you a special limud. That's why he learned from Hamad. Good. Since each one of them has, if you will, a slight... each one has been undermined slightly because Rav Nachman said he can't learn from Bavartim because they have the drasha of Rabbi, and Rav Zeira says he can't learn from Nesatim because Urcha Dekorah. So now the Gemara brings, in fact, two psukim from Nach. What are these two psukim? Rav Nachman bar Yirmiya only halchas shein pasuk yom ha'hein chol chizkiyo lamus. Chizkiyo Amelech, unfortunately, was on his deathbed. Vayom ve'elov Yeshayo ben Amitz, that's Hanavi Yeshaya, Hanavi. Vayom ve'elov koyomar Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, unfortunately, your time is up. Tzav le'beischa, you should now go and give an oral tzavva'a, tell your family what to do with your nechasim. Ki meisaf, because you're about to pass away. V'leitichin, you're not going to live. Now, we all know that, in fact, what happened subsequently was that Chizkiyahu HaMelech went and he did Shuva, and the reason why he was originally supposed to be passed away because he was not going to have any children. And then Yeshayo said he should have had a son. He said, but I saw that I'm going to have a bad son, he's going to be a Grace of Russia. Bahadi, something to Rahmana, the Lo Melech, you shouldn't think for Cheshbonis what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do or what he wants to do. You should just do what it says in the Torah, Pru Avu, you should go and have a child. And in fact, he was Meshadach with Yeshaya Novi, and then afterwards they had a child, Menashe, and he lived another 15 years. Anyway, but all of that is fascinating in Tanakh, but in our Gemara, it says here that in the Pasuk, it says, Tzav Lebeisra. Tzav Lebeisra means go and give a command. In other words, give it a direction or instruction. It doesn't say write the instruction. It doesn't say make a kinyan. Tzav Ba'alma. Tzav Ba'alma means this is the Makar from Matana Shchimera that Divrei Shchimera, Kichsum Upsarim Dami, you don't need to do anything more. Rabbi Yecheskel Miyach, I have another very similar pasuk. The Gemara doesn't ask why this pasuk is inadequate. According to the two drushes are the same. V'achitoyfel ro'o ki lo'y nesesu atzosai. Achitoyfel was initially at one point very close to Avshalom and participated with him in the rebellion against David HaMelech. However, at one point when they felt that David HaMelech was a little bit vulnerable, so there was a question on the table. Should we go now and attack, or should we not attack? Achitoyfel's idea was, yes, we should definitely attack now. David HaMelech is vulnerable, we'll be able to capture him, we'll be able to end the war, and Avshalom will become the new king, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Lo Nesar Tzosai. For some reason, they did not follow his advice, and he was quite despondent. Therefore, he went and took his chamar, v'yelech habesi, went home, el iroi, v'yitzav el beis. So in the same lashon, he gave instructions, what do you do with all my nechasim? V'yechonek, and then he choked. Many mepharshim say that he choked himself, that he himself committed suicide. Anyway, but what do I see from this pasuk? V'yitzav es beis. He didn't write it, he didn't make a kinyan, he just gave that tzavah, that oral instruction. It's not a little bit tzavah boundless. You see from this, two more rayas from Nach, that
choking.
Presumably, it says Veitzav El Beis Veichonik, but it was Al Das because he knew. It's just like
we had Shimra knows he's going to die. Achitofel knew he was going to die.
Yeah, it's just like the Mefarish VeYoitz B'Shiyora, the Mesukon, and the person Yoitz B'Koiler. He's still alive, but he knows. You know,
his time is up.
The writing is on the wall, etc. Okay, now we're going to take a break from the Mekoyer of Atonish Shimra. And we're going to talk a little bit about Achitoyfel, since we talked about Achitoyfel. And we're going to talk about Matan Shchemer again on the Amud Beis. Stay tuned. Tanabar, Shloish Yudvarim Tzivak Achitoyfel is Banav. We just said that he was Metzav as Banav. Besides the allocation of his property, he also gave them the following three messages. Number one, Altim Machlekes. Stay away from Machlekes. Apparently he saw that his involvement with Avshalom and David HaMelech was not fruitful. Stay away, let the other people argue it out, and you just sit on the side. The Altimridu b'Malchus Beis David. Here, certainly we saw that his merida against Malchus Beis David was not successful because they didn't go and accept his advice. So he saw that David HaMelech is going to be Chai V'Kayim. Stay away, don't jabber, don't join Avshalom, don't join anybody else. Let Malchus Beis Dovid survive and go. And finally, the Yom Tov Shel Atzeres, when you find that Shavuos is Borur, Borur means that the sky is clear, no clouds, no rain, oh, zero chitim. That's an omen that this is the proper time to go and plant wheat. The Gemara doesn't say what the basis of this is, but l'choira, the basis is that there's only one time a year that we bring what we would call a korban mincha, min hachitim, and that is the shtei halechem that you bring on Atzeres on Shavuos. So the fact that Atzeres is clear, that would seem to be the connection with chitim, go and plant chitim.
But chitim is usually planted in the autumn and grows and is harvested and brought as chadash, that's matir, it's matir on the second day of Pesach. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't it unusual to plant wheat in the summer after Atzeres?
Well, number one, it could be that the Gemara is saying that this is such a successful year, Shavuos is so beautiful, plant it right now. Even today, they have the winter season for grain, you have the summer season. That's why you always have the problem with any type of wheat or barley products, etc., shortly after Sukkot or whatever, because they're all chodesh and they were not permitted yet by the previous carbon. So if everything was always planted, it would always be harvested right before Pesach, you'd never have a chodesh or yoshin problem the whole year. You wouldn't have to have all these products saying yoshin tvo and everything. So there are two seasons. But regardless, the Gemara could have, even if in the time of the Gemara assumed there was only one crop, one season, so he's saying when it comes in Yat Hashem, September time of year.
For the following year.
It doesn't say necessarily right now. Okay, it doesn't make a difference. But bottom line is Ruchitim. By the way, that's the reason why Chitim, the Gemara, what does it say in Mitzrayim, that when one of the Arba says that Kafilo Isema, the Chitim, the Soira was Hukku, and the Chitim not, these were earlier growing and these are later growing. The barley typically grows quicker and is harvested quicker, and that's why you bring the korban barley soirim for the korban oirim on Pesach, and the chitim is usually a little bit later, and then you go and bring that in shtei lechem in the Shavuos. Anyway, so if it's bar, zero chitim. So that would seem to be the connection. There could be another connection as well. You remember the other day when we spoke about the Asir Nichsin and all the rest, we said, who is the person who has the great Goyin who knows so much Gemara? Hakol Tzricha L'mori Chitya. So Chitya, therefore, is a remez, it's a euphemism for learning Torah. And since Shavuos is when we had Matan Torah, that could be another connection between Chitim and Torah. There could be a third connection, and that is, as we know, there's a three-way machloikis in Masechtas Brochus, I think it's repeated in Sanhedrin, as to what was the Eitz Hadas. One of the three Mandiyama hold that it was a chita. And the Gemara says, Vasap chita, because a child, when he starts eating chita, then he starts getting his wisdom. So apparently chita is somehow related to getting seichel and to getting understanding and maturity. So therefore chita would be related to Torah, which is given on Har Sinai, because that's when you start being mature, then you got to start learning Torah. Okay, anyway, as we say too, when it's bar, that was the brisa. Now, how do we know these shloish dvarim tziva achitoyfel? So as Rishbam, they had a mesoira that's what achitoyfel, because there's nothing in the Torah about it. If you look at Rishbam, about 8 lines before the wide line, shloish dvarim tziva achitoyfel, hachi avikim lehu. That is such a mesoira that's what he said. Okay, now on the third one about this, when Atzeres is boror zirochitim, marzutra omar, no. It's not borur, balul itma, just the opposite. When Shavuos is cloudy, that's a simon that there's going to be a lot of rain, and that's going to be good for the chitim need the rain. That's the simon. So not borur, but balul. And now you have Yovi HaKosav HaShlishi V'Achriya B'Neim, Amri Ner Doi Mishmei D'Rabbi Yankiv, Loi Borur Borur Mamish, not crystal clear like the first Man Yama, V'Loi Bolul Bolul Mamish, and not so cloudy like Marzutra said, El Afilu Bolul, if it starts off on Shavuos, that it's a cloudy day, but then the Ruch Tzvoinis, the northern wind, comes, Menash Vosay, and pushes aside the clouds, and now it becomes a clear sky, Zehu Borer, so it would meet both tests, the Borer test and the Bolul test, because both of them happened on Shavuos, so both of them could be correct. He that said Baruch, he said that Baruch, that there was a combination of the two, and this is a good omen for planting it. Okay. Now, since we started getting into this, now the Gemara gets again further diverted into the inyan of good omens, as well as which winds are preferable to others. To Omele Rab Abba L'Rab Ashi, Anan, even though until now we're saying the name of Achitofel, that it's Shavuos that is the indicator of whether it's good or bad to go and plant Chitim, Anan, we rely instead of on Shavuos, we rely on Adar Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, Masdin Allah, the Umr of Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, Matsuyan Tabo Achen Shel Chag. We look at Matsuyan Tabo Achen Shel Chag, means of course of Sukkis, Matsu Shmini Atzeres, Matsu Simchas Torah. Hakol Tsuyfin the Ashan HaMarocha. Everybody looks to the Ashan HaMarocha as it goes up, a pillar of smoke towards Shemayim. And what do they look to? There are drafts, there are winds, so we want to go and see in which direction will the Ashan go. Is it to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west? What difference will that make? So now the Braise has spelled it all out. And therefore, so what the Gemara is saying is, ignore Shavuos, that's not the real omen. The real omen is Sukkot. That's what he was saying. Anan, we rely on Yitzhak Rabdi. Okay, so what does it say about Ashan Maracha? Not to klapei tzofin. If you saw that the smoke was going northward, says Rishbam, that means that there's a ruach droimis, that there's a southern wind which is pushing it toward the north. Then this forthcoming year, the Anim are going to be very happy, and the Balabatim are going to be sad. Why? Because when you have that type of southern wind, you know there's going to be a lot of rain. It's going to be a real rain season. Because there's so much rain, then the payers are going to overdo it in terms of getting moisture, and they're going to easily rot, unfortunately. And therefore, that's why the Balabatim will be upset. They're not going to be able to go and store inventory and be able to sell it in the market over the next few months. They're going to have to drop it into the market very quickly, because otherwise it's just going to rot. And since there's such a large supply, the Aniyim are going to be so happy. Prices are going to go down. And therefore, the Aniyim smeichem Balabatim atzei. Then that's if you have a southern wind. Now, not the Klapi Dorma to see that the Ashan HaMarach is going towards the south, which means that there's a northern wind which is pushing it, then Aniyim Atzeim, the Aniyim are the ones that are sad about Libatim Smeichim. Why? They should gish me shana mu'atim. When you have such a northern wind, usually you have less rain. As a result of less rain, Uperis Mishnam, the Peris will be able to go and be stored for a longer period of time, and therefore the Balabatim were very happy. I don't have to sell everything immediately. We'll sell the next one, next one. And therefore they kind of control the market in terms of don't dump too much tzvua or too much payers into the marketplace. Just do it slowly and then keep the prices high. That's why the Aniyim are upset and the Balabatim are happy. Not a klapi misra. What happens if you have a western wind? It's pushing it towards the east. Hakol smeichem, and everybody is happy. The western winds are good. While klapi marav, it's towards the west, which means it's an eastern wind. Hakol etzeim. Now what's the reason for that? So says Rishbam, because then it's kind of mid. It's not too much rain, it's not too little rain, it's in between, and therefore it's going to be, generally, so if you look at the Rishbam, fourth wide line down below, fourth wide line, the Mizrach, Kulan Tzmechem, if it's going towards the Mizrach, Shemarovis, if you're talking about the western wind, Mamteris Bemida, that causes Mata Bemida, meaning a normal amount, not a shortage, not too much, normal. Well, payers in the Yoikos, and therefore the payers are not too expensive, and therefore everybody's going to be happy. But if it's the other way around, if it's going to be the Mizrach wind, Kulmatzeim, everybody's upset. Mizrach is Minas Motar, there's going to be a little bit of a drought, or maybe a bit Tzoyres. The Yoikos God, and therefore the payers are going to go sky high. There'll be a scarcity of fruit, or payers Karka in Tzoymchen, and the payers are not going to grow properly, and the vegetables are not going to grow. Good. What do we see from that last part of this braisa about the western wind and the eastern wind? Says the Rishbam succinctly, Alma Mizrach is kosher. The eastern wind is bad, and that's why Kulam Atzeven, because the Mizrach is Meinatz Mutter, there's not going to be enough rain. Umarov is Yofa, but the western wind said that's good. It's going to bring nice rain. Bemida. Not crazy, but a nice amount. Umarov is Yofa. Okay, so now for 18 Gemara, or a mini. I have a second braisa And we're focusing in particular now on this Mizrachis and Marobis. We just got finished saying Mizrachis Kosher, says Rishbam. Mizrachis, the Olam Yofa, Mizrachis, this is the best. Marobis, Olam Kosher, Marobis is Gefährlich. No, so that's Mamish, a direct stira. Here we're saying Mizrachis is bad and Marobis is good, and here you're saying Mizrachis is good and Marobis is bad. So you're going to answer that shortly. But in the meantime, we go through the other Ruchais. Ruch Tzvoinis Yofa Lachitim, Meshoa Sheviu Shlish. Ruch Tzvoinis, remember, brought a lot of rain, and that water is good at the point that the chitim are maybe shlish. Shlish means a third of their growth. That's when they need it. And from that time and on, they don't need any more. In other words, we're happy with a shlish of the growth. The rest of that's until that point, they needed the rain. But from now on, they're not going to need any more. Not that they can eat anything, but they'll continue to grow basically on their own. However, kashla zeisim, zeisim, they grow a little bit later in the season, and they need a lot of water, and they're going to suffer by the absence of rain. B'shoshi yinitzu, when they are going to sprout, and they're going to netzes, when they have some sort of crown on top of
them. Blossom.
A blossom, yeah. V'ruch d'roim is kosher l'chitim, v'ruch d'roim is n'yana had it bad for l'chitim, b'shoshi yivir shlish, because then it's a torrential rain, and it's going to be too much. V'yofa l'zeisim, it's a good for l'zeisim, b'shoshi yinitzu, when they crown. On this last shtickle that we just spoke about, that the Ruach Tzefoinis is good for the Chitim, the Ruach Droimis is good for the Zeisim. Says Yomar B'Simonach, how am I going to remember this? I'm going to close the Gemara. Even I'm opening the Gemara, which one is good? Is the right with this? The western wind, the northern wind, the southern wind? Simonach, it's easy to remember. Shulchan B'Tzofain. We know the Shulchan where the Lechem was. The Lechem upon him, that was on the northern side of the Heichel, and the Menorah was on the Dorim, was on the left side, meaning on the southern side of the Heichel. Hai Marbi Didei, Vahai Marbi Didei. Each one takes care of its own kin, so to speak. Meaning that the northern wind, which brings the Mutter, which is good for the Chitim, Mishosh, Aviyu, Shlish, that's where the Chitim are, that's where the Lechem upon him is, on the right hand. Lavdaf Chitim means the Tvur. And therefore the Tvur is on the Shulchan, it's on the Tzofin side, and that's good for the rain, and that's good for the Ruach Tzvoinis. So Ruach Tzvoinis takes care of its own, it takes care of the Tvur. May not be so good for the Zeisim, but that's not my problem. I'm the Tzofin guy, I take care of my Tzofin, my Lechem Upan. On the other hand, Menorah D'Darim, it's for the Ruach Droimis, that brings a lot of water, it says, oh, I want that my olives should be nice and oily, so we'll have oil for purposes of Menorah. So that's what it means, Marbid Day, Marbid Day. But now we have the Kasha that we started off with. Here it says, Mizrachus Kasha, Marovis Yof, and here it says, Marovis Kasha, and the Mizrachus Kasha. And then make up your mind. It depends whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or whether you are in Bavel. Bavel mostly was, the land was in the valley. Since it was in the valley, it was very, very moist, the land in Bavel, because they had all the rain and the snow that ran off on the sides of the mountain coming down below. So they didn't need too much rain. If you had more than enough, if you had more rain, it would just go and cause everything to rot, and it would just be too much. And Eretz Yisrael, on the other hand, they needed a lot of rain because the whole Eretz Yisrael, a large part of Eretz Yisrael is on mountains. Yerushalayim Horim Savivla. And that's why when you drive to Yerushalayim, you have to go these steep angles, you have to go around and around, and you go up. Okay, anyway, the point is that it's not in a valley. You have much more mountainous type of area, so you do need more water. Oh, so too much rain in Bavel is gefährlich. Too much rain in Eretz Yisrael, there's never too much rain. We always want the rain
there. In Bavel, you have the rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, and they can irrigate, and Eretz Yisrael is completely dependent on rainfall.
Very good. Okay, very good. Rishbam doesn't mention that, but what you said is very, very good. So getting back to our Gemara, so that answers that steer. Now the Gemara, let's go back to Shavuos again for a moment. We said that Shavuos, if it's borer, it's good for the Chitim. Tani Abishalei Miyom Tushal Atzeres, borer, if it's a clear day, Simen Yofa, not just for purpose of the Chitim. Now the Cholosh HaNekuda means that year is going to be a good year in terms of the weather, in terms of the produce.
Are we saying that the Shana, like as Arba Rosh Hashanah saying, that I think the Shavuos were neither now Peros. So we're saying that the Shana from Shavuos to Shavuos, is that the Shana we're measuring? Or
I don't know. Maybe there's that Shana, maybe until Tishrei. So that's a good simile. Chol HaShana Kul. Amar Rav Zvi, Hay Yoyim HaKamad Reishotim. if you have the first day of Rosh Hashanah, now we're talking about our Rosh Hashanah, right, in Tishrei, if that day is a warm day, it means that the whole year is going to be a warm year. The bottom Rishbam says, the last Rishbam, doesn't mean every single day of the year it's going to be, you know, Al Gore is going to have 365 international conferences every day because of climate control, because it's getting too hot. He's claiming Rav Hashanah. Rav Hashanah is going to be a pretty warm year as compared to other years. On the other hand, Ikarir, if Rosh Hashanah is a cold day, everybody's wearing their coats, Kulish Otakri means that the whole year is going to be a coldish year, it's going to be cool. Okay, Mazel Tov. What's Nafkimina? I guess Nafkimina is if you're in the furrier business that you're going to go buy a lot of furs. Oil futures. Very good.
Eating well.
So, but what are the Hilchos His Isser Beheter that are dependent on this? So the one that's Vilasi Shel Koyin Godel. As you know, on Yom Kippur, when we talk towards the end of the Avoida, we say that the Koyin Godel, when he come out of the Kodesh Kadoshim, then he would say a Tefillah. So part of the Tefillah, he says that this year should be or should not be to Geshuma, Geshchuna, etc. So depending on what happened in Yom Rosh Hashanah 9 days ago, now it's Yom Kippur, so he knows that it was a cold day. So he says, Rabbi Yishon, please don't make it too cold, please. Abyssal of Varmkite, a little bit warm. On the other hand, if it was a very warm day, Rabbi Yishon, it shouldn't be too hot, Abyssal Kiel. So that was part of the Kohen Gadol's Tefillah. And with this, we have concluded the slight detour that we took for the last couple of minutes, and we come back to the Inyan of Matonas Shchimra. V'rova Omrav Nachman Matonas Shchimra Midrabbanim B'Almehi. Sinishka Psukim, Sinishka Torah, Sinishka Tzavo B'Alma. Don't learn it from Vavartim, don't learn it from Nesatim, don't learn it from Achitoifel, from Cheskiu HaMelech. It's Midrabban. Why? Shemetidroif Daitei Olav. You have a person that is about to pass on. That person is not a lawyer, and he doesn't know all the legal rules and things. And if you're going to go and tell him, hey, mister, I want you to know that if you don't do all the legalese, you have to go and write it down, and you have to have two edim, and they have to make a kinyan sudr, and they got a kinyan sudr.
Chashasholim,
it could exacerbate the terrible situation that he is in now, and therefore we don't want to do that. Therefore, the Chum always have the right because of the Hefkerbez and the Hefker. So whenever it comes to Mummonis, they can basically, they have a blank check to do whatever they want. So they instituted by Shchimra, don't force them to make Kinyanim, don't force them to have Edim, don't force them to make Shtaris. Divrei Shchimra, Ksumer Tzomdam. Now note that it says over here, V'rov Omer of Nachman. So Nachman was the one that said, Shchimra Midrabban. Yet back on the Omer Aleph, when we talked about the Psukim, it was Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua Mehocha Unesata. It's the same Rav Nachman.
But what is the name of Rabba Baravua? What is the name of yourself?
Asmachta. That would be one way of learning it. But the Asmachta that you're talking about, that's the top choice. If you go back to Kuf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph, so it says, Minan Matrosh Omer Atoira. Says so it's la min atoyra dafke. Come on, we don't mean dafke. The Rav Nachman Gufa, who's quoting there, Abavua, is that the command the Aina Mishol Toyr Vasuk Yishol Toyr El Asmachta Bialmuhuti Kam. It's not an Asmachta, but the real thing. According to everybody, it's Midrabbanan. Question is, what level of the Rabbanan? The Gemara is going to say shortly that the Gemara is going to give a teretz that even though it's Midrabbanan, Asua Kishol Toyr. Anytime it's a Suishal Kateira, you'd like to go and try to find a posik that you can point to and say, oh, you see, it's a Shal Taira. So therefore, that's why the Gemara and the Amir Aleph tried to find the Smachtas. But in truth, Shchimra, Divri Shchimra, this ultimate Rabban. According to everybody. Right, Gemara. Omi Yom Rav Nachman, how did Rav Nachman really say that? Omi Rav Nachman, afagav di Omer Shmuel, hamoy chashtar chod v'chaber v'chosur v'cholay, mochul, ואפילו יוירש מויכל, מויירש מויכל, שמנסון עם מתון השכמרה, דעיני יוכל למויכל. What is this all about? This talks about what you would call an unethical practice. What is the unethical practice? You have a person that owns a shtar, shtar choyf. Yankel borrowed money from Beryl, and so therefore, Yankel owes Beryl $100. Beryl has this shtar, and he would like to go and raise liquid funds. He cannot go and ask Yankel for payment because the maturity is only in 2 years from now. It's a $100 bond or a $100 promissory note. So he goes to a broker and says, do you know anybody that would go and buy this promissory note? Obviously for a discount because it's not payable now. Yeah, I know somebody the other side of that. Shmerel, he deals with that type of thing. And a $100 note for 2 years from now, well, first we have to see how trustworthy that fellow is and how strong he is financially. Maybe we'll go to what it was called Dun and Bradstreet or something, go and try to get from them, Dun and Bradstreet, right? Try to get from them some sort of financial credit report about that fellow. You know, Yankel Bochum, he's never missed a payment yet, it's fine. Okay, but it's 2 years from now. From now until then, I could have invested the money in a treasury bond that could have gotten 3%, 4%, 2%, whatever it is, etc. So he makes a cheshbon, fine. For $50, I'm going to go and buy the shtar. And mention 2 years from now, I'm going to get $100. All right, so that's nothing wrong with that. You can go and sell a shtar chaver, and that's fine. What's unethical is that the person who sold the shtar can subsequently go over to Beryl, to Yankel. Beryl sold the shtar. Beryl was the one that owned the shtar. Yankel owed him the money. He goes to Yankel, says, Yankel, you know what? We're good friends. I'm moichel you. You don't have to pay me the $100. Oh, Yankel says, oh, Beryl, I love you. Yeah, you're such a wonderful chaver. Of course, as far as Beryl was concerned, it's no skin off his back because he already sold the shtar for $50. So he's not going to get any money either way. So it's easy for him to be moichel. Is it an ethical practice? No, it's unethical.
It's a hezek, Nikar.
It's a hezek, and Rishbam says, and this is not just a hezek, this is not just a grumma, it's a din of the garmi, and therefore, all we can do is that Shmerel, who bought Mishtar, can demand and receive back all of his money in full. So he gets back his full $50. Okay, he doesn't get a profit, but at least he doesn't lose any money. What the person did, obviously, is wrong. But no, Rishbam says it. You see, look at the first wide line. First wide line of the Rishbam. The Chozer, you have that Chozer. After he sold it, he went and he was Moichel Aleve. Mochel. Tulei Mochel Aleve. So first, Rishbam explains how does this work. Tulei Mochel Loi Rishon L'Sheni Elikol Schus Shetov L'Yavei. Tulei Odev Hay Lekeach Mi Malve To Asi Mach Mosei De Malve. He's got to get his money back. The dainina dina de garmi. We pasken dina de garmi. V'zei hifzim mo'oysav. Kisoreif shteroysav shel chaveroi. Even though a shtar in and of itself is just a piece of paper. However, it evidences a choif. If you go and burn somebody else's shtar, there's no way he's going to be able to go and collect anymore. So that's a dina de garmi. The kaimul on the chayiv. Where do we know that? Mehu uvda dikafia rof from the Ravashi ve'agvi minei ki keshura letzalmi. Where we had such a situation where rof from forced Ravashi and he went and he collected like keshura letzalmi. Keshura means like a large beam letzalmi that you use for making sculptures and making statues. Anyway, the point is that he certainly has to give back all the money. But what he did is legally effective, even though it's immoral and unethical what he did. How does he have that right, that authority? So that was the beginning of the Rishbam that we kind of glossed over quickly. Because when a person sells the shtar, since the shtar is personal to him, it's not a beer bond. It's personal to him. It always remains him, until the shibud is always his, until it is sold.
So his strings attached.
Until maturity.
It has a zika.
It belongs to him at all times until maturity, until it's paid off. The only thing that he really has the ability to sell is the schus guvaina, the right of collection. The right of collection. But the shtar itself always belongs to him even after he sells that right of collection. So, Dr. Gemara, since the shtar still belongs to him, therefore he's able to go and be Michael. Not only can he be Michael, but also his Yoirish can be Michael. In other words, if the original Balgam passes away, even though he had sold this shtar already to somebody else, the Yorish of the original Malveh can be Moichel at some time in the future. That's still the Yorish Malveh. So that's halacha that Shmuel said. But now Rav Nachman added a caveat. Even though Shmuel said, Avgav, the Yomishmuel, the Moichel, the Chaveri, Chazur Mochloi, it's Mochel. And even the Yorish of that individual, that Malveh, can also be Moichel. Moichel Shmuel, if instead of selling it to somebody else, to somebody else, and now the beneficiary receives it from Matonish Chimra, then Yochel Moichle, than the original Malva or his Yorish. Original Malva is probably not here because he was the Shchimra that gave it, the Matonah, to the beneficiary. So the beneficiary now owns it, and the Shchimra passes on, but he left a Yorish neither the Shchimra nor the Yoyrish can go and be Moichel any longer, because this is now considered to be totally conveyed, not just the right of Guvaina, but the Shtar itself, Bakal Mikol Kol, as he said yesterday, goes over now to the beneficiary. So Zokti Mariat, how did Rav Nachman just tell us that Shchimra, Matar Shchimra is Midrabanan? Iyamas Bishlamin Dir Reis, if you're going to tell me that the Matar Shchimra has that strength of Dir Reis, Bishlamachi and Yochel Yobchel. That's why you understand that when the Shchimra handed over the goods, he handed over the pie to the beneficiary, not literally, but he gave the tzavot to give it to the beneficiary. So he gave him back a week of kol midarais, everything. So therefore the yoresh of the Shchimra loses his right to be moichel.
The fact that the Shchimra gave it to the beneficiary is evidence that the Yoresh no longer has any power, control, or bialess in it.
I would think the same thing applies to a Mecher and a Lekeach.
Yeah, sure.
Because that's not done under the duress of a Shimra situation.
Okay, so let's see the Gemara's text. The Gemara says, if it's the Raisa, then I could see the difference between a Mecher or Matonis Bori as opposed to Matonis Shimra, that Matonis Shimra is so strong, Menat Oira, that it washes away any remaining rights, even of the Yoyrish, where if it was a regular Matanis Bori, or if it would be a Mecher, then the Yoyrish would retain rights here, nothing left, gunished. That I understand. Liam is Rabbanan. Am I any Yochel Limcha? Are you going to go and tell me that the Rabbanan was so strong in their Gzeira, in their Takana, that to take away the rights of the Yoyrish, that Minatoyrish, he would have had those rights by Matanis Bori. He has those rights by Matanis Bori. But because it's a Matanis Shchimra, he loses those rights.
Hefker wasn't Hefker, why not?
And for the Gemara, Eina Shotoyri, even though it's Takan Rabbanan, but Suki Shotoyri, however, here the Rabbanan decided to go and put on it an imprimatur that it's like Toyra Mamish. So, called the Takan Rabbanan came to rise and take him, but here it's even more than that. They said that we are making a very, very strong and strict takana, so strong with his Matanish Chimra that the Yoyrish can fly away, is out of the picture, he has nothing to do with it. If he wants to be Moichel, it's too, bad. Too bad, so sad, goodish. Omer Rava Omer Rav Nachman, Shchimra she'omar yodr ploini bebayezet. Now we're talking about one of the rules and regulations that attaches to a Shchimra. And we're basically saying in the Gemara that Matan Shchimra, other than that divrei Shchimra, you don't have to make a kinyan, but other than that, it is similar to and similarly effective to that of a Matanis Bari. And what is that? We know that there's the famous halacha, other than Reb Meir and those that follow Reb Meir's view, ein odem makne dover shaloi bol oilam. You can't be makne something that is not tangible and that already exists in the world. And therefore, if Shchimra she'omar yoder ploini b'bayezet, this ploini Yankel Smith, he should have the right to go and live in this house. Or yoichel ploini peiris dekel zeh, this ploini should have the right to eat from these peiris dekel. Lo yomar klum, this is garnished mit garnished. Why is it garnished mit garnished? Says Reshbam, because ein odem makne dover shaloi bol oilam. Well, we know already paid his deck of the Davar Shalom Balaylam, yet it will grow eventually, but the Val Sinish do. So, if he says he should be able to eat the paid his deck after my passing, ain't on the Makhla Shalom. And similarly, when he says, even though the bias is here, but he's saying, Yodr Ploini, I'm not giving him the house, I'm giving him the right to sleep and eat and sit in the house. That's also considered to be an intangible. It's a right of doing something as opposed to giving something.
But it's available
physical.
Now. It's not. It's an intangible. It's
true. Achi Oimer. So what are the magic words that he has to go and say? Tenu bayezel ploini biyoder boy. I'm handing over this apartment, this house, so he should be able to go. That's okay because the bias is boilem, as you say, and it's tangible. He takes over that. That works. Tenu dekozel ploini viyechol peroi. So that would also work because that's boilem. So Timur Lememra, from this member that we just saw now of Rav Ram Nachman, it appears, Lememra, so Ram Nachman, Milza, the Isa Bebori, Isa Beshchimra, the lesson of Bori, lesson of Beshchimra, that the rules of Shchimra, Matonis Shchimra, and Matonis Bori are basically the same. Other than, of course, the Divrei Shchimra, but otherwise, they're the same. Ay, Vomarabba, Omer Rav Nachman, Yetchim, to be continued tomorrow in that subject. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isaiah Zakibain, Zakibain, thank you all.